Welcome back to the Textual Talk Podcast, where we talk about everything from life, career, business, and more. Today, we have a special guest joining us, Mr. Tayo. How I say it, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mr. Tayo. And I'm going to try to do my attempt at a little Shannon Sharp type of intro a little bit. But today's guest is none other than Mr. Tayo. He's a cloud career professional whose journey into tech is both remarkable and inspiring. Raised in a Nigerian household in Bowie, Maryland, he initially pursued nursing, but quickly realized it wasn't for him. After getting a mentor, Tayo persevered, eventually landing a breakthrough cloud engineering role with a salary of $135,000. He didn't stop there. Tayo mastered the remote job stacking technique, scaled his tech income to nearly $500,000 a year, and now helps others follow the same path through his 1% university coaching program. But welcome, man.
Glad to be here, man. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you. And like I said, I definitely try not to watch y'all episode just because I want to try to probably pull something out that she didn't. And so I kind of just use my program to scrape some stuff that y'all talked about and kind of come up with the intro for the most part.
Okay.
But yeah, man, just a little bit about you. Like, who are you?
Yeah, so my name is Tayo, as you said in the intro. My full name is Adetayo Ibijemolusi. And I can start from my journey started really in high school. Was graduating high school and I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I told my mom I wanted to do psychology. And so she had told me, you know, hey, yeah, you can't come home. And, you know, in a Nigerian household, you either have to be a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer. And so psychology just wasn't going to cut it. And so my mom had, you know, said, hey, you know, you like to help people. You know, you have a giving, caring heart. You know, have you ever thought about nursing? And so I went to school for nursing. I got accepted to a nursing program, and the third day I dropped out. And it was one of the most difficult time in my life, dropping out of school, nursing school at, you know, in a Nigerian household. You know, I felt a lot of shame. I felt a lot of, you know, like I was a failure, like I was letting my family down. And so, you know, fast forward a week later after I, you know, dropped out, I attempted to kill myself. And so I was in the garage and, you know, I turned on the car and I had a note that said, sorry, mom. Because my mom was really the biggest person that was pushing me. And you know, she wanted nothing but the best for me. And yeah, I felt like I just couldn't do it. And so I had a note that said, sorry, mom. And, you know, about, I guess, I don't know how long, I can't remember. But after some time went on, I heard a voice and it said, it's not your time. And at the time, and still to this day, I believe it was God speaking through me. And I turned off the car, I went upstairs, and I just started bawling, crying. And, you know, some time went on, and I was just lost. I was just depressed. I couldn't get out of bed. Like, my mom was just always just trying to, like, push me, always just trying to, you know, just get me out of bed, just different stuff. And, you know, that's when my mom and my dad had, you know, recommended me to go to one of my uncles, and he's pretty successful. I went to his house, no hope. And after that day, me going to his house, you know, he ended up becoming my mentor. And so I was lost, and then I found a glimpse of hope through him. He majored in IT. He has his own business. He's pretty successful. And he guided me on, you know, not what to do, but how to think, and gave me like a good baseline to, you know, figure it out. Right? And so I went back to school the next semester. I switched my major to accounting and then information systems and then information technology, all within, I think, like a month. And so, yeah, I was still lost going through that process. But once I found IT, I said, this is it. This was it. My dad, he used to teach A+ when I was a kid. He tells me all the time, I don't remember this, but he used to tell me I used to help some of his students like change their backgrounds and help some stuff in the, you know, computer lab. But he told me I was always with him when he was teaching, and I picked up pretty fast in terms of just basic computer knowledge. And so I didn't know IT was something you can major in. And so when I saw it, I said, this is I've been doing this my whole life. And so I majored in IT, and it was still a challenge, but 2 years later, I was able to graduate December 2019. I graduated from Frostburg State University with an information technology degree. And I was like, yes, like, this is it. You know, they say, you know, once you get your degree, jobs are going to come to you. And I was like, finally, like, I struggled to get there. And I'm here. I graduate, and crickets. Crickets. Nobody hitting my phone. I was doing Uber Eats. You know, I had to find a way to make some money. And, you know, by God's grace, you know, my parents, they say, just stay home, you know, just focus on paying off your student loans. And, COVID just happened in February, March, like 3-4 months later. And I think they deferred the student loans. But nonetheless, the fast forward, you know, they said, oh, you need certifications. And I went ahead and got my Security Plus. I failed my Security Plus four times. I passed it on my fifth attempt. And I was like, yes, jobs are going to come now. Crickets, straight crickets. I got my A+, still crickets. I got my AWSCCP, still crickets. And so I have a college degree, 3 certifications, but no experience. And so I didn't know how to market myself. I didn't know how to position myself in the market. I didn't know how to do interviews. And so, I really struggled to find a job with the credentials that I was told that I needed. And so I was driving, I still remember, I was driving Uber Eats at like 2 a.m. in the morning trying to meet my goal per day. I was trying to average around, I think, $10 or $15 an hour. And, you know, I remember I was so broke, I couldn't even put gas in my car to do Uber Eats. And so I remember asking my mom for money, and I promised myself I'm never going to be broke again. Like, I hit rock bottom, another rock bottom, and I've never been broke ever since then. I went ahead and, you know, I was studying, you know, I forgot what I was studying for, but I had a friend, his name is Mata. Shout out to Mata wherever you are if you're listening. I always shout him out because, you know, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't got my foot in the door of tech. He called me. He said, hey, what are you doing? I said, I'm studying. He said, yeah, you should come do this 2-day contract. It's an IT technician job. They need an extra person. I said, no, I'm good. He said, you doing something better? You making money right now? I said, nah. He said, okay, then you should come. I was like, okay, you got a point. And so I went to the IT technician job. It was my first experience. And I'm like, I'm hungry. I want to find every and any opportunity if it presents itself. And so I saw my team lead. They extended the contract for 3 more days, but at the last day, we went to lunch. I came back early, and my team lead got off the phone, and I forgot what she said, but I pretty much asked her like, "Hey, what's going on?" And she said, "Oh, I just declined an offer. They wanted me to do a full-time IT technician job, and I want to move to North Carolina." So I said, "I'll take it." And so she gave me the recruiter's number. I called this literally within 10 minutes, set up the interview, and I got my first offer letter for $21 an hour as an IT technician. I was like, yes, I made it. I got my foot in the door. And they didn't care about my degree, my certs. They just needed somebody. And so that was funny to realize. But just wasted 5 years of college and $70,000 in debt, right? So that job, I was like, yes, I made it. This is it. That job was the worst job I've ever had in my life. But it was the best job I ever had in my life. The best job. The reason why it was so bad is because it's like putting 4 jobs into one and having that one person do everything. And it was very toxic environment. Like, why aren't you getting it done faster? And it's 4 jobs into 1. It was the best job because I was in fire and I could not get out the fire. Like, I had to stay there. And that's when I was forced to read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And it really exposed me to understanding how to actually play the money game more effectively. And so after I read that, I was able to get my next job, remote help desk, $55 or $55,000 a year. And now I'm working remote. Now I don't have to wake up and travel an hour to go commute to work. And then I was an IT technician, so I had to go to different like BB&Ts and SunTrust to, you know, exchange their different IT equipment or fix or stuff like that. And so I'm saving a lot of time. I'm saving a lot of money. And then I just put that time into learning new skills, because after reading Rich Dad Poor Dad, I realized that I needed to learn a skill set to either be in the business quadrant or the investment quadrant. So I learned how to day trade. And so at that time, I was learning how to day trade and learning how to, not even focusing on tech, six figures. And so nonetheless, a year later, I realized that I needed a high income skill. And so I looked into cloud engineering. At first, I looked into cloud administrator, because I heard my cousin was teaching it. He said one of his students got like $95 an hour. And I was like, what did he do? Let me do that. And so went through the program. I searched up AWS administrator jobs, but I kept on saying AWS cloud engineer, cloud engineer, cloud engineer. And I'm looking up AWS administrator. And so I'm saying, okay, there's more demand in AWS cloud engineer. And I did a quick project online. I already know the basics of AWS. I implemented a system to have recruiters reach out to me. Like, I know how to market myself now. It was a one-round interview, 15 minutes, a 30-minute interview, one round, 15 minutes of him asking me questions, 15 minutes of me asking him questions. Within 2 hours after the interview, I got my first offer letter, six-figure offer letter for $135,000, which changed my life forever. Not only am I making more income, but now as a day trader, it helps tremendously because I don't need money. And if you don't need money, for all my day traders out there listening, you already know psychology is 90% of day trading. So now that 90% is not even there because I don't need the money. I'm not forcing trades. And so I was able to change my income. I was making $7,600 a month after tax. And now I just use all that money and invest it back into my brain, into different courses and into different skill sets. And so the fast forward, my other mentor, he had challenged me. He said, Tayo, how much money do you want to make? And I said, I want to make $250,000. He said, go ahead and double it. And so he wanted me to make $500,000 a year, and I thought he was crazy. And so about 2-3 months later, he really changed my mindset in terms of what I thought that was possible for myself. And I started seeing opportunities of me making $500,000. 2 months later, I got 3 offer letters. I declined one and I accepted 2, and I was making $489,000 base. And that was around $28,000 a month. One of it was a 1099. And so I had to do my own taxes. And so net was $25,000 a month. And so nonetheless, just to go from when I graduated all the way to $500,000, that was really my journey in terms of going through trials and tribulations, dropping out of nursing school, finding my mentor, you know, going back to school, graduating, thinking I'm at the top, realizing that I'm at the bottom, struggling to find a job, realizing the real way of acquiring offer letters and being able to scale my income to $500,000. That is my journey and a gem I want to give to anybody listening. It wasn't the degrees and certifications that made me valuable. It was being able to clearly articulate the technical knowledge and value that I can provide to a company that solves their problem. Being able to position myself in a way that shows that, communicates that on my resume and LinkedIn profile or any job posting sites, and then also on an interview that communicates that as well. That was the key of unlocking my income ceiling to actually getting jobs and scaling my income. And so that's about me. That's my journey. And that's a little gem that you guys can take from that experience.
All right, guys, that's it. Nah, just playing. Oh, man. You said a lot. I appreciate that. I appreciate guests that want to yap. That's what this is for.
Yes, sir.
I want to go back very quickly to the nursing stuff, because there may be some people just like you watching this.
Okay.
And I've seen so many times people get into nursing because you're going to get paid well.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people, one, don't have the temperament to be a nurse, should not be a nurse, and probably end up finding out they don't like it. And so even if they do probably get through, they're going to hate being a nurse. Whereas I don't think that's the type of job you do just for the money,
yeah,
in my humble opinion.
I would agree. I have a nurse who came through the program. It's something called nursing burnout. It's a thing in nursing. And to make more money, she had to go back to do her master's, and it was just, she wasn't going to do that. And so she went through my program. I think it took her 5 months, but she had a job for $130,000, and she was making 80 before. So not only was she burning herself out, 12-hour shifts, I think 5 or 6 days a week, I can't remember, but now she's making more money and working less, and even the work that she's doing, cloud engineering, remote, she's like, she's barely working. And so, you know, I would say if you're looking at it from the money perspective, I mean, make your own decision. Talk to different people. Talk to different nurses. Talk to different, you know, if you're interested in tech, talk to different people in tech and kind of see what their real life day-to-day is and what you want for yourself. If you, for me and for a lot of other people in different careers, cloud engineers specifically, them going through my program, they're able to learn a skill set that provides them more money and work less and less stress. And so, you know, like I said, talk to different people. But for nurses out there, you know, there's a couple of nurses that's gone through my program that's been able to make that transition to make more money and work less.
Yeah, because I have friends as nurses and 12-hour shifts, or if they do have to really get to the bag, they got to start travel nursing and working in bad conditions. Just even think about how many future nurses we lost when the pandemic happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they had to work through all that craziness.
It was insane.
And that's, I know for a fact, a lot of nurses say, you know, I like my family too much to put them in this type of danger. I'm going to find something else to do.
Yep, yep, yep. So, my mom's a nurse, so that's why she kind of recommended nursing to mm-hmm. me. But, yeah, she was still working at the time, but, you know, she was just telling me the experience. It was tough.
Okay, now this is another one that I know, like, a lot of my Nigerian friends, y'all had the same type of thing.
Yep.
You know, either lawyer, doctor, maybe something with the sciences. Do you think they are now coming around to, okay, if you do some, I think they're probably coming around to learn about the cloud maybe or something with AI or security as something that's going to be a high-paying skill for you to get into? Because I think that, like you said, the end goal is income.
Yes, yes. So I would say specifically, I won't say which parent, but one of my parents, because I don't want to put them on blast. One of my parents, you know, at the end of the day, anybody listening, you have to really analyze what is a high income skill that I can learn, right? A high income skill, not a degree, right? Not certifications, a skill set that I can use to solve somebody's problem or to use to make money. And so I remember my mom had told, not my mom, I think either my mom or dad, I'm not going to say who, but they had told me that day trading is a hobby. Remember, I was learning day trading. I wrote the date down. It's somewhere in my house. But I said, okay. You know, and so, for example, like right now, I'm able to do, you know, six figures in 2 weeks. With the skill set of day trading, and I'm around 10% of my potential in terms of what I'm building, in terms of my capital, in terms of the plan that I have. And so why am I even talking about this? It can be network engineer. It can be cybersecurity. It can be cloud. It really doesn't matter what it is. As long as it is a high-income skill set that you can learn to get money, but be careful. Not all money and skill sets are created equal. It's a book called, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I was going to say Retire Rich, Retire Young by Robert Kiyosaki. But Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he said, yes, study, but you need to be able to study the right things. Retire Rich, Retire Young talks about leverage. And all leverage means is making more money and working less. And so if you look at the different skills, network engineer, database administrator, you know, literally anything in tech, or let's say real estate or day trading, whatever the case may be, look at, okay, what has, all these are high income skills, six figures, cool. But which one has the biggest leverage? for me, I thought to myself, day trading does. I was in a car going to, you know, where I'm staying at in Dallas, because I traveled from Miami to Dallas, and I opened up my laptop in the Uber and I saw an opportunity for day trading. I took that opportunity and that brought in $30,000 in 10 minutes. And so that was a skill set that I knew that I can always take opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I lose. Don't get me wrong. You still lose, but over a period of time, like with a good win rate, which I do have, it took a lot of time to build that and the psychology, I'm able to now make five-figure days, right? Spending a couple of minutes. And it sounds crazy. I mean, do your own research if you guys don't believe me. It's a lot of money out there you can make in day trading. It's very difficult. But that was a skill set that I said, okay, this has the highest leverage and, you know, make a lot of money and work less. I spent 10 minutes to make that trade. And so, and now within the last 18 days, and I have like different stats and numbers on my phone, but it's around $189,000 in around the last, like I'll say 17 to 19 days of day trading. Now, why is this important? This is a gem that you guys can take. Look at all the different skill sets that you can learn. I started with cloud engineer because that's a stable job. It's a good foundation. And then I wanted to learn another skill set, like an investment vehicle, where I can put this money to make more money, a multiplier. So I have a good foundation to learn where I learn cloud. I'm making money every month. And it's leveraged too. I'm not working 8 hours a day. And then I learned day trading. I already learned day trading before, but I wasn't profitable yet. It took me 2 years to be profitable. But now I learned the skill set to be able to multiply the money that I was making. And it's super high leverage. So just look for different skills and look at which one has the most leverage. Make more money while working less. So that's what I would say.
Yeah. Now, I will say Kiyosaki does say some good things. I don't care for him that much, but that's only because of like some of the network marketing stuff.
Yep. Yep. Take the good. I was talking to one of my students.
Eat the meat, spit out the bone.
Yeah, yeah. Just take the good stuff that you like and leave.
Yeah.
Dave Ramsey, I don't subscribe to him. But take the good stuff. I take the good stuff and leave out probably like 80% of it.
That's how I feel about it. Like, because I think I read that years ago. But it was hard. It was hard to read it at that time because, no, I'm lying. At the time when I was reading it, it was not for business opportunity, but there's been other times where they try to get you to read stuff and you're like, I can't read it with an open mind because you're trying to make my mind conform to what you want me to do, so I can come do this for you.
Yes, it's low-key trying to sell you into
it. Yeah, mm-hmm. So, but other than that, I mean, like I said, it's a lot of people. I think we can always find people that we don't agree with, but it's like, you know, like they always say, a broken clock is right twice a day.
And I'll say this, and I want to be completely transparent, you know, even, and I'll ask you in terms of, because even the person who does selling for my business, you know, I talked to him. I was like, yo, I don't try to sell people when I'm, you know, talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, hey, you don't have to join my program. Like, look what's out there, but learn cloud.
Right. Because
it changed my life. But he said, hey, do you, you know, it's my sales guy. He's like, yo, do you think selling is like, you know, it two people or four people? I was like, what do you mean? Well, he said, oh, well, like, let's say, you know, you sell somebody into your program. And he does everything they need to do, like they get results, right? So yeah. He said, okay, it's that a bad thing? I said, no, because you know, their life just dramatically changed. And so he said, okay, are you doing it to them? Like, are you taking advantage of them selling, or are you, you know, are they benefiting from whatever you're selling? Like the product itself. You know? And I was like, wow, that changed my perspective because I always thought selling was bad. But it can be if the product isn't good.
And that's where I'm going to. The same way, it's like, you know, because it is a lot, and we'll probably get into that more. Like I said, I've been in this space 6 years, so even people I've seen come and go, programs I've seen come and go.
It's a lot of bad products out there.
Bad products. just a whole bunch of stuff, right? Because think about it. Everybody's thinking the same way. Hey, I want a high-income skill, too. I want to change my life. But some stuff is put in such a way where, you know, it just, you know, I just leave it at that because it's just a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But when you have the testimonials and the things to back up what your program is doing, there's nothing anybody could ever really tell you, because like, hey, I'm getting results.
Yep.
Are you? While you're arguing me, or you're making fun of, you know, my way of funneling people to my newsletter or whatever, while you're doing all that, let's have a bet who's helped more people. Mm-hmm. And if you say that, they're gonna say, well, I say exactly. I've helped more people directly and indirectly in the last 6 years, more than like so many different people that will ever say, oh, thanks. I guess I don't have to pay whatever the price is or something. I was like, because I'm really never too concerned about who don't want to pay what, because like, mm-hmm. you're not my ideal person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, cool. There used to be people on X back when I first started where prices were lower,
mm-hmm.
and they wouldn't budge. But these were the same people I see year after year trying to get in security. Mm-hmm. All this stuff. I said, hey, at the end of the day, you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people refuse to get that, to where now there is a such thing as an opportunity cost. A lot of people, if they would have jumped on the train to learn the stuff years ago, they wouldn't have so much of a hard problem now, because now it's tougher.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're competing with people that are laid off, people with 10, 15 plus years interviewing. They're not just hiring people. You could have got in 2-3 years ago and really usurped a lot of people that have been there for a while, because one of the conversations that me and my friend Lee have, we always talk about how years of experience isn't really the best qualifying metric in our experience, because I've worked with people that's been somewhere 10, 15 years. They aren't that better than a person with a year experience, because that year experience person is hungry and their skills mm-hmm. are a little bit more mm-hmm. current than what their polished. Skills are.
Yep.
So it's like a lot of different ways. If they really want to revolutionize hiring, they need to focus on the deliverables that's needed, not the years of experience.
Thank you.
That's what they need to do.
And I kind of focus my program. So it's two parts: learning like cloud engineer projects, tech challenges, like the actual experience, but then how to actually communicate that on interviews, how to get interviews coming to you, recruiters coming to you, and then how to articulate the value, the deliverables that you've done to solve problems that they currently have in the business. And so I want to touch on what you just said in terms of like the years of experience, as opposed to someone who's like more hungry. That nursing student I told you about, right before she got an offer letter, she went to a cookout and she was talking to a team lead or senior cloud engineer at another company. And it was kind of crazy how they, you know, just convenient how they're both in tech. Well, she's about to get in tech. And she said, oh, yeah, I think I'm about to get this offer letter. It was the final round. And, you know, once she final round, she pretty much got the offer letter. And she said, and the guy said, oh, like, how'd you do it? He said, oh, I did a program. And she said, oh, what's some of the stuff you learned? And so she was talking about using Docker to containerize applications, Kubernetes orchestration tools to be able to use Terraform to build out the infrastructure, Jenkins automatically deploy the applications to the infrastructure, you just build different things like that. And I'm surprised. Well, she said when she was talking to the senior cloud engineer at the cookout, he could not keep up with her in terms of what she was saying. And this guy already has multiple years of experience. So exactly what you just said, maybe sometimes they kind of like don't really polish their skills because they're already in the field. And this person is just like hungry and learning and learning. But that surprised me, because she hasn't worked at a job yet. And the guy said, hey, like, I can't even keep up with you in terms of what you're learning. It's a good program. And so I just wanted to second your point on that. And then the other point was opportunity cost. Like, not only that people could have gotten into cybersecurity earlier, what you were saying, 2 years earlier, but a lot of people don't think about the stress of figuring it out by themselves or YouTube University. There's nothing wrong with that. Still, you know, that's an option. But the stress, when you have problems, you have to figure it out. You don't have a good source to go and ask the questions and for you to solve them, for them to show you how to solve them. You're not thinking about especially the money that you could have been making earlier. I wasted $83,000 in opportunity costs because I did not want to pay $5,000 when the opportunity presented itself. I said, nah, I'm going to do it for cheap. And that was the most expensive lesson I've ever learned, because I could have been making $7,600, my first cloud engineer job, 11 months earlier. If you do 11 months times $7,600, it's $83,000. And so not only the money, because that money could have been in my bank account, but then also the stress, the time, the embarrassment of failing the interview when I finally got an interview after 5 months of trying, got one interview, which was horrible. But, you know, those are some things that, you know, we really need to talk about so people can actually have, you know, I wish I knew about that when I was like starting out, but opportunity cost is things that people don't see. They look at the price of the program, but not the cost. And so you need to compare, you're going to pay something. So you need to compare those two prices. Which one is more and which one do you feel comfortable, you know, paying? And so that's something that I always say, but you know, it is, you know, I personally think mentorship is the cheat code because literally, you know, I don't want to say it because I just got a mentor where his net worth is pretty high.
Yeah.
And he's literally telling me what to do step by step. I don't have to figure it out myself. I have a decent net worth, but this guy's net worth is crazy. And I mean crazy. And he's telling me step by step what I'm going to do. And so it's not like I have to figure it out. What's the opportunity cost? Right. It's a lot.
Right.
And I mean a lot. And so like mentorship is the cheat code in my experience, but nonetheless, I think that's something that needs to be talked about more, which is why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah, no. And I also want to bring up another point. When you're saying, hey, your mentor said, hey, how much you want to make? And I bring it up because at the time, this is, 12 years ago, I think? I had a mentor at the time. And this was but the first time, like in the Black community, people don't really talk about money.
Yep.
So he was like, you know, how much money you want to make? And I, at that time, I never thought about it. And after that conversation, I always started to get very specific on whatever money I want to make from a certain job or whatever I'm doing outside of work, like what I want to make. And then, sure enough, those opportunities start coming around, and that's literally the law of attraction.
Yep, you got it.
So a lot of people don't even realize that. The same way, like I tell a funny story all the time about a client I had. What was that? Was it last year? He was either last year or in 2024. When he came to me, he was like, man, I'm only getting hit up by the $40,000 and $50,000 jobs. I was like, well, that's all you applying to. Like, I can show you the text messages. And he was like, man, you know, when you first told me that, I didn't think nothing of it. But as I, you know, think over this year that I've been in this other role, he was like, you're right. So literally after that, he applied for whatever role. I think he paid like $90,000.
Wow.
And then we got him a role that makes $125,000.
Wow.
And so it was like, wow. Yeah, like 40, a lot of 50. Times, because people, one of the things, the guesswork is, man, I'm not getting no hits. I don't know how to find a job. Yep. Like people don't job search the right way.
Yep.
And yeah, I was like, yeah, your skills are worth more than what you know, but you just don't know how to use them or leverage them
yep.
to even showcase what you know how to do. That's a thing that people just struggle with a lot. It's just even that. Or take it a step further, when you said, hey, your life changed when you made $135,000. Yep. I just said the same thing recently because it was like, okay, cool, I make this and I make that. But then once like you take like another big salary jump or whatever it is, you're like, wait, it's more money out there?
Yeah.
And I'm not even in investment banking.
It's crazy.
You get this type of bonus. Like, and then so that's when people's minds start opening up and then your beliefs, they stop being limited.
Wow.
And then you start being around other like-minded people. And those are the people that start helping you progress more in your career. So it's one of those things where you very well may be a person that's on your ascension right now, and you're not going to take everybody that you currently talk to with you because they're not meant to come. They can't come.
Yep.
Where they're at in their mind will not allow them to be beneficial to you for the journey.
I'll say I went to InvestFest 2020. I think it was 2023. I went 2024. I can't remember which one. But Tyler Perry said this. He said he was speaking there and he said, your circle right now, you know, most of the people in your circle or some of them, like it's okay to leave them where they're at, because if you try to force them to level up with you, they might suffocate. So he was kind of speaking in terms of like, if you're in a plane or you're like increasing altitude, like they're not capable of handling that level of air. They're just not ready.
Yeah.
And so you have to leave your circle and go by yourself and you'll meet another circle. People with the same mindset and it has the same goals that you want. And then there's going to be another level and you have to leave that circle again. And I was like, dang. And it helped me kind of let go, because I'm the type of person that's just like, if you're in my circle, like we going together, like let's do this, and that kind of slowed me down. I learned that the hard way. And it's not fair for them, for me to force them to do something they don't want to do because they're just not there yet. And what I realized, so that was one thing that helped me. And then also, you touched on this, but I want to make sure the audience like hears it in a different way, but it's skill set and mindset. Like you touched on, like when you got a salary jump, you're like, oh, there's more money. Like that's like a mindset jump too as well, like having that awareness and then being around other people that have that similar mindset, because let's just say they're making 300K or 500K and that's like normal to them and they're going for a million, right? My mentor that I just invested in, he made $1.8 million in 6 hours day trading. And so for me, it's like, oh, that's crazy. But for him, he's just like, eh, that's like, a... and it's like, that's another mindset thing, like skill set, how to actually do it. But then the mindset of like, that's normal or that's my baseline. And so even in my program, I let them know, a lot of people say, oh, $1,000 in your emergency fund, right, for savings. That's like typically what you hear for financial advice. I said, no, not as a one percenter. It's $100,000, right? It's not making six figures. The baseline, the goal isn't 500K. The baseline minimum, what's acceptable, is $500,000 in terms of the mindset, but then also the skill set of how to actually do it. But you need both, skill set and mindset. And so that's something that dramatically changed my life and how I approached hitting my goals. And so it's not just learning how to do it, but that mindset is like 95% of like everything.
Perfect, man. Now, real quick, I want to touch on the first cloud engineer role.
Yep.
How was it? Did you have any imposter syndrome? What were you doing in the role?
Yeah, I thought they was going to fire me. I was the only black person there, and I couldn't believe it. Like, I literally, it was a cloud migration project. It was a company I was working for. I won't say the name, but they had a cloud migration contract through Homeland Security. And I thought they were going to fire me because they literally did not do anything for months. And I was like, three weeks in the role, I'm like, okay, they trying to set me up. And so I reached out to my team. I was like, hey, like, is there any work to do? Like, I'll do. He was like, yeah, like, we're just, you know, they're pushing down the meetings. Like, they're pushing it week after week after week. But, you know, here's something you can do. I did it in, like, 5 minutes because I used ChatGPT to do it for me. And then, you know, it was that job. I was not working. Like, that's how I was able to job stack, right? And so, right, I'm able to leverage more jobs, more income. And when I did that, I got two more jobs. And even those jobs, I'm not working more than 2 hours a day on each role. I'm working like maybe 30 minutes here. If it's real work, it's probably like 2-3 hours. And averagely a day, I'm doing either 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or at most 3-4 hours. And so the whole point, going back to answer your question, sorry, because I'm going on a tangent, but that job, you know, I was just... I didn't know anything about cloud engineer. I got lucky. I knew AWS administrator, right? And so I learned everything about cloud on that job. And I asked ChatGPT, I got it to, you know, I went on Google, got like 20 different job descriptions on cloud engineer, put that in the Google Doc, put that Google Doc into ChatGPT, and I said, hey, do some market research and look at like all the skill sets that I need to know as a cloud engineer. And it told me, Docker, Terraform, Kubernetes, Jenkins, computer networking, Python for a scripting language. And so it gave me different things like Prometheus, Grafana for monitoring, AWS, you know, core services. Mm-hmm. And so I literally spent the next 3 to 6 months diving in and just learning everything. But like, I did have imposter syndrome because I didn't know cloud engineer like that. I got lucky. It was by God that I got that job, but I locked in and I learned everything and I asked them for work because I wanted to get that skill set to where it needed to be to now go job stack. And so that's what I did. I did it ethically and legally. I didn't, you know, break any conflict of interest. I got 3 offer letters. I declined one because it would have been a conflict of interest. And that's what I did. I was scared, but, you know, I locked in.
Yeah, I'm glad you did that too, because most people would just say, oh, I'm getting paid to do nothing and do nothing. Nah. But their skill would never elevate because they didn't do anything. So a lot of people that you, like, my last episode I had Nate on, and we were talking about how you...
It's about Nate the recruiter?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, cool people.
We had we were talking about how, like, people say, like, back in my day or 5 years ago, I was getting hit up by all these recruiters. Now I'm not. That's because 5 years passed, and their skills are not relative to the market anymore.
Yeah, they got comfortable.
Their job became super easy, and it became cushy. They didn't learn anything, so now... when they go interview, nothing's happening. They can't talk about nothing. Mm. Or they don't know any of the new things. Like you said, when you were talking, or when you said your student was talking to the other senior guy. What? Jenkins, Ansible.
That's like basic stuff, Docker. Though. Yeah, that's basic.
Yeah, but if they're not doing it, that just lets you know, let me see if I can find this. Because this is so true. This is something that my guy Tayo on Tech said.
Oh, Tayo in Tech or something like that?
Yeah.
He's the first person I started, like, listening to before I got into tech.
Really?
And we have the same name, yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
So, Tay said, let me see where it is.
Yeah, he definitely influenced me to go harder in tech.
Where is it? It was a good one. Okay, there you go. This is what I want to talk about because it leads me into what you're talking about with the senior person.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's funny how titles work in this industry, and that's exactly why you shouldn't take them as serious, depending on the company. And so he's saying a VP title in the banking is a mid-level engineer. Senior plus roles in consulting, hospital, and government would pretty much translate to entry to mid-level. Focus on the skill set and responsibilities. And that's what made me think about it. In retrospect, they could have moved you over to senior, but you could just been a person there. You may not even really be doing anything with the cloud. You may just be logging on, checking reports.
It was crazy. Like, I was a senior system engineer. It was paying me $200,000 a year. It was $15,900 a month because it's a 1099. I literally logged into AWS and cleared space for 15 minutes, 20 minutes a week. That's all I did for like the first 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
That did not make any sense. I was a senior. And that's, I was like, this don't make any sense. Because I was an IT technician working like 9-10 hours, making $21 an hour. And it was so stressful. And then now, somebody has said this, one of my students, he was like, the more money you make in tech, the less work you do. And I was like, that's what happened with my experience.
Yeah, I would say depending on the role.
Yep.
I've had people sometimes, like clients, that ask me about, like, yo, I wanna pick up another job on JobTech. I always say, well, the first thing you need to do is master what you're already doing, because there's nothing worse than you trying to do too much and now you're messing up on both jobs. Mm-hmm. And that's happened to a lot of people. They've crashed and burned that way. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I said, you gotta know also if the current role you have, what's your schedule like?
Yep.
Is it task-based, or are you always required to be doing X, Y, Z, or what?
Yep.
Once you figure that out, then you can work around all those things and do it.
And I love that you said that, and I want to touch on this because I talk about this, but I say it all the time, leverage, making more money and working less. And so it's not about network engineer, cloud engineer, cybersecurity. They're all amazing roles, don't get me wrong. You can choose whatever you want. But it's like, which one has the most leverage? I was studying to do RMF, Risk Management Framework, because I heard it has a lot of leverage. I heard one of my other guys that I know, he has like 7-8 database roles. And his computer is, like, his desk is crazy. I actually screen recorded it the other day. It's crazy. I know he's making like 1-point-something mil already. But he's able to do that because the job, he has the bandwidth, right? To actually do that and to perform well in each role. And it's because of the skill set that he decided to learn. Like maybe, let's just say, you know, either a network job or a security job or a cloud job, let's say one of them, like it's not high leverage. Maybe one job you're doing 6 hours. You can't really do two jobs. But if you have a job that's doing 30 minutes average and the meetings make sense, that's something that you can scale up. And so,
I see it a lot. It's hey, like I always tell people, if companies can do mergers and acquisitions, I could do my income as well. Like, for real.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So now I want to get into, and I was trying to make sure, because I saw, did you merge with another company or you just have two different titles now?
You talking about now?
Yeah, I know I saw 1% University, but then I saw...
Oh, so yeah. So the 1% University is something that... So I started off as like day trading, right? Mm-hmm. And so I told myself anything that I want to do, I want to be like a 1%er. And so I made up the name of the 1% Trader. That was my Instagram handle for some time. And then I learned cloud, and I invested a lot of money into like different mentors, different things like that. But I learned a bunch of stuff and built something called the 1% University. The 1% University is a step-by-step method of making your first $1 million. Freshman year is how to never live paycheck to paycheck ever again, and how to get richer and richer every single month with automations, and to learn how to manage your money, essentially. Sophomore year is how to make six figures and scale your income to $500,000. Junior year is how to use that new money and invest that money to make money for you. And then senior year is how to actually leverage different tax rules and laws to be able to pay less in tax, pay less money on taxes, and then also how to build your personal and business credit, right? And so nonetheless, that's the 1% University, and it's a step-by-step way of making your first $1 million. Now, and that's from everything that I've learned, and I dropped the stuff that doesn't work and only put the stuff that I use that worked. And so the Apex Institute, we rebranded ourselves as the Apex Institute to be able to really just look more professional.
Right.
Like, we rebranded the website. We wanted to actually work with different companies too as well. And so we wanted to rebrand ourselves. And that's when one of my partners, Malik, he actually came into the company and ran that whole thing, right? He rebranded everything. And so the Apex Institute is really just, it's a DBA. But the 1% University is the name of the business.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, because I was like, I was looking last night, I said, I see this and that. I was like, I was trying to figure out. So I was like, I'm going to ask them tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out which one I really want to just push like that. But yeah, the 1% University is like, that's my baby right there. So we're trying to like have it like, that's like the community, the 1% University, and then the Apex Institute, that's going to be like public facing in terms of, you know, what people will see and use.
Yeah, man. So now we got like some other cool questions that you sent over that we also can talk about.
Sir.
I think this is a good one because these are people I normally have calls with. But why do so many smart, hardworking IT professionals still feel stuck financially?
Same thing I always say and preach. You know, I think you need a couple of things. If you have this, If you are stuck right now in your career and your income potential, this is the elements that you need. Number one, you need leverage. What does leverage means in a simple way? Wealthy people understand this. How can I make more money and work less? That's all leverage is. Number two, you need to learn the right skill set that has the most leverage. Okay, so leverage is number one. Skill set is number two. Mindset is number three. I have the mindset where it is going to work or it's going to work. This year I was teaching one of my inner circle students because he's my hired customer, but cool dude too. He actually was on Justice podcast the other day, but he was able to generate $1.5 million in 9 months. He didn't accept all the offer letters. You can't do that, right? But he was able to do that because of the skill set and the mindset and leverage. Now, this year, I'm teaching him day trading. He's the only student that I'm teaching day trading. It's not available for everybody. And so I told him, I said, how much money do you want to make? He said, I don't know. I said, okay, we're going to do $1 million this year, 2026. He said, $1 million? Oh, my gosh, I don't know. I said, because you just said that we're doing $10 million. He said, okay. He didn't tell me at the time, but he thought I was smoking crack. He thought I was crazy. And after I taught him day trading, you know, I spent like a week or two to teach him day trading. He now understands the skill set. He understands like how it works. And now we have a plan to make $10 million this year. And then I said, you know what? We're thinking too small. We're going for $100 million this year. And he was like, bro, I have no, like, he did not believe me when I told him that. He thought I was doing probably heroin now. And so a week later after I told him that, and I'll just say this, I met somebody, like pretty much I ran into somebody who's trading $300 million. He's 23 years old. He started day trading when he was 18. And so it's crazy. And I've been in the day trading space for a while. It's a lot of scammers. It's like, it's crazy. And I know how to vet people. But nonetheless, he's now my mentor, and he's a multimillionaire, and now we have a way to make $100 million. Even if it doesn't happen this year, we have a vehicle, a step-by-step on how to do that. Now, why is this important? If you're in tech and you're stuck, which you're working super hard, and you're stuck in terms of your income, you need to have leverage, the right skill set, and the mindset. The mindset is the most important thing. If you don't believe you can do it, you're right. If you think you can, you're right. They're both is true. But you need the right skill set and the right plan, and it has to be something that's leveraged. Make more money and work less. If you have those three components and you have a plan, skill set, mindset, all that stuff, you'll be fine. And the cheat code is really just learning from someone that's actually done it. Excuse me. So you don't have to figure it out yourself. He's just telling you what to do step by step. So that's what I would say.
Cool. Now, check this out. So earlier in the story, you were talking about you got this cert, you had your CIS degree, and nothing was happening. Now, would you also possibly admit that maybe like your resume wasn't the best back then either?
Oh, 1,000%. So I would say this. I always preach like certifications did not work for me. And another part of that was my resume too. That's another component. Mm-hmm. I know that when I did change my resume to have certain SEO optimized words on my resume, to have recruiters like reach out to me and different things like that, I had more traction. And so if I did have the search and the right words, I would have the same traction. But I still don't preach certifications. It's just because it doesn't showcase you can do the job. I know people who cheat on certs. Mm-hmm. But when they ask you, tell me a time that you're able to actually build out infrastructure using an IAC tool, or tell me a time in a CI/CD pipeline that you added security inside your CI/CD pipe, inside your Jenkins file, right? Using SonarQube or Trivy, right? Mm-hmm. Like you don't have that experience, and so I think certifications are not super super bad, but you need to go a step further and build real world projects on top of that fundamental certification knowledge. And so, I would say a key part of me not seeing success wasn't the fact that I just did certifications. It was just I didn't know how to use SEO optimized words on my resume and post different things on LinkedIn and have my profile look a certain way to be top ranked when they're searching for candidates. And then also being able to clearly articulate the value, the experience that I got from real world projects.
Yeah, nice. And one of the questions I have for you as well is, well, not questions, but actually like a statement. It's more so that I'm starting to notice that a lot of cert companies are saying, you know what, we need to make some our own practical certifications.
Oh, wow.
And those certifications will start being like, so for example, in the security realm, there's this company called Security Blue Team. They have these Blue Team certifications, Blue Team level one, level two, all that. They're practical. So after them, you have, I think TryHackMe has like some practical certs.
Yep.
And I think Hack the Box does too.
Oh, wow.
So now everybody's moving to the practical certifications because, one, now a lot of professionals go review these certifications. And so now they can say confidently, okay, this certification right here, he can't cheat on. You had your camera on or whatever, and they have to know how to do this stuff. I like this certification.
Yep.
We may get this person a chance, even though they don't have the requisite experience. This experience alone would be something that they possibly would face at work.
Yep.
So that's something that I'm seeing. So I would say be on the lookout. When you're looking for certifications, get in the cloud or whatever, I say, hey, look for practical certifications and see if there's anything new out there. Just something that you can highlight. Because you can literally use those as projects.
Yep. And I want to add this because I think this is super important for someone going for certs right now. And you know, I want to make sure you don't end up like me, right? You don't end up getting the certs and you're still broke and you don't know how to get a job. At the end of the day, a CEO of a company, a hiring manager, they're looking for two questions. The first question that you need to answer clearly is, can you do the job? Not Security Plus, not A Plus, not AWSCCP, the certs I got. Can you do the job? When you're on the interview, you need to be able to communicate clearly that you can do the job. The second question you need to ask is, you need to answer is, will we like you in our culture, in our team environment? It's a real thing. And so being personable, those soft skills, being eager to learn, being teachable, coachable, right? Being hungry, you know, being like just not a weirdo, to be honest. And so And I talk to other CEOs, because I'm around different business owners, they say the same thing. We care about somebody who's able to come into this company and do the job, because if you can, you save them a lot of stress and time, and you make the business more money. And so if this is important, because if you're going for certifications, make sure that what you get out of that is helping you towards getting the goal, which is, can you do the job? Can you actually articulate that on an interview? And if you can, you know, all these, you know, like these new certifications that's coming out that's more practical, you're getting that hands-on experience. So that's helping you actually, you know, answer that question.
Right. A couple of more questions is, so right now, because we named some of these things throughout the episode, but let's say a beginner level cloud engineer, what would be the top five skills that they need in 2026 to get in the cloud?
So if you're a beginner entry cloud, you know, cloud, I'll say cloud engineer, I won't do administrator, because cloud can be broad. You can be a cloud security, cloud engineer, cloud administrator, stuff like that. But I would say, I don't want to say top five. I want to give a tech stack.
Yeah, go ahead. Go for it.
So number one, you need to learn a cloud provider. It could be AWS, it could be Azure, it could be GCP, Google Cloud, right? And so learn a cloud provider. Then you want to learn basic computer information. Like learn the hardware aspect of it, like CPU, RAM, you know, just how, like what is a computer? What's the components inside a computer? And then learn computer networking, right? How computers talk to each other. You know, how the basic level of computer networking. Then you want to learn Python. Okay, Python is a very easy entry-level coding language. I personally hate coding with a passion. Okay, you do not need to know how to develop and build applications. You do not need to know how to speak Spanish. You need to be able to understand it. Okay, I'm not coding from scratch. I'm able to work around code, understand that this is a variable, blah, 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 and I use ChatGPT to actually build the stuff for me. Or you're going to work with code as a cloud engineer, but you do not need to develop it, okay? You want to learn SQL, which is another coding language. It's how you communicate to databases to pull, retrieve, or store different information. You want to learn Terraform, which is a IAC tool. I'm not going to explain what that is. It's just being able to automate certain tasks to build out infrastructure in your cloud provider. You want to learn Ansible, which is a configuration management tool. You want to learn Jenkins, which is a CI/CD tool. You want to learn Docker, Kubernetes, Prometheus, and Grafana for monitoring. So let's keep it simple. This is the tech stack that you should learn if you want to break into cloud engineering. AWS Cloud Engineer Platform, learn the different services. computer hardware, computer networking, Python, SQL, Terraform, Ansible, Docker, Kubernetes, Jenkins, Grafana, and Prometheus. If you learn the ABCs of what those tools are, those technologies, and ask ChatGPT, build me a real-world project that where companies, the problems that they're currently facing, what project can I build to have experience to solve that problem? Give me those projects. And then ChatGPT will give you those projects and you can ask it to help you build it. And so now when you create your resume and you have those projects, you know, companies need somebody to solve that problem. And now you're going to show that on your resume. And then when you get the interview, you articulate the, you know, what you did to solve that problem. And that's essentially what I really teach in my program in a very high level way. Speaking about it in a, from high level, we go into detail in the program is what I'm saying, but that is what you should do if you're looking to break into cloud as a beginner.
Perfect, perfect. Now, and I like when people ask me this too, but like, so who's your ideal target?
Like my students? Like mm-hmm. So I'm targeting people who are capped from their income, and they're looking to scale their income to $500,000 a year or more. And so somebody that, let's just say they're a security engineer or they're a network engineer and they're making like, let's say 120 or 80 or 180, 200. But for example, we just got somebody into the program, I think last week or 2 weeks ago. It's making like, this guy's insane, but this guy's making like, I don't know how much he's making. I wasn't on the call, but he's making six figures. He went through the program in 2 weeks, and I thought he was cheating.
Wow.
Because he's submitting his projects and assignments, all that stuff. I've realized people who's already in tech who comes through my program, they get results extremely fast. But this guy, he did the mock interview because we have mock interviews inside the program. You have to do that to now go into like actually getting interviews to make sure that we know that you know what you're talking about. He passed the mock interview in 2 weeks. So he went through the whole program in 2 weeks. And so my target, my ICP, the people that I'm trying to target is people in tech already that has a certain income, but they're looking to scale. They're looking a way to learn a skill set that has leverage because the current skill set that they have is capped because, you know, they're working maybe 4 hours or 6 hours a day and they can't job stack the right way. And so another student, Cleo, he was a developer, an iOS developer. Last week, he got 470, it's somewhere from 400, he got three offer letters. It's around 440 to 475 in a week. And he already got two offer letters. Since joining the program in 10 months, he was able to accumulate $775,000, and he was already making six figures. And so I have a testimonial call with him on Sunday, but I'm going to ask him, like, okay, which jobs are you taking? Are you taking all of them? Are you going to try to leverage all of them? And then I'm, you know, but I've noticed that the people who's already in tech, they get the results super fast. And it's just a lot easier for me to coach them because they already know they're already in tech. I don't really need to, like, do anything too much. They're just going through the step-by-step system.
Yeah.
And they already have the mindset to be disciplined and proactive to go through it, so it's less hand-holding and more success rate as opposed to somebody who hasn't gotten that mindset, you know, to break into tech already. And so it's just a lot easier to work with them.
Yeah, that's true. Same here with people that already got their experience because I don't have to do much. You already got the skills.
Literally.
Like, you literally were just not marketing yourself good. So once we fix the LinkedIn and resume, and I had, I don't know if you saw, did you see my story the other day?
Was it somebody, I think I did, somebody you he got an offer letter or just because you changed how he was marketing himself or something like that?
Yeah, he went from 50 to 120.
Yeah.
Systems engineer.
It was crazy. It's crazy. And it's what you said is facts. Like, if somebody is able, it's, you know, we don't really look at, you know, searching for a job like business, but it's marketing.
Yeah.
It's sales. When you're on interview, you need to sell yourself. And so what you do in terms of rebranding or remarketing yourself, that's key that most people don't really think about.
Yeah. And the other part is like, I shared one of my testimonials. I think it might have been the beginning of the year, but I had a guy I worked with like 2-3 years ago. Wow. And we stay in contact from time to time. And he had reached out, was like, yo, hey, just wanted you to know the stuff we talked about 2 years ago just led to me getting this IT manager role for $130K.
Wow.
And he was previously making, I forgot what he was making, it was like 80 or 70 or something. But that's what, think about it, like people just look at whatever the price is and they look at it's going to be for right now. It's like, no, look at it as an investment throughout your life.
And I'll say this, you know, if somebody is listening to this or watching this and you're like thinking about a mentorship or a mentor, since I've been in business, I'm going to be transparent. 85-90% of people I've met in business are just not ethical, in my opinion. They're trying to take advantage of you, or they have their own hidden agenda. And what I will say is, even when you're investing into a mentor, not even just about their testimonials, look at their intention. Look at how they move. I tell people who are interested, you don't have to join my program. Like, but learn cloud, or there's other programs I can connect you to if this is not a good fit. I generally want to serve people and have them be in a better position after talking to me. So the reason why I'm saying this is, if you're looking at a good mentor, number one, they, like, if a mentor makes more money, or, you know, they don't really need your money, you can, if I've just seen so many people where it's like their income is based off of them selling something. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you have to look at their intention.
Right.
Is their intention to get over you or to serve you?
Right.
And so you have to look at how people move. And, you know, that's one thing that I've, you know, like the mentor I just invested in, he has a lot of money. He doesn't need my money. And so him actually mentoring, and even you, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into helping somebody. And so for them to mentor you, it's just, you have to look at their intention. If they're not doing it for the money, are they doing it for the money? Or are they doing it to really help you? Because they're actually a good person and they actually care. And so I've been screwed over by different mentors that's just like trying to look for money. I mean, it is what it is. And being in business, I've been screwed over with people who just wants to make money and not really deliver on what they said that they were going to deliver on. And so if you're looking for a mentorship, I would say really do some digging on who that person is and his intentions, because it's a, you know, that's something that's helped me, I would say.
Now, here's another one. How do you, let me speak to the mic. Here's another question. How do you see AI enhancing cloud engineering?
So AI, you know, AI lives in cloud. And so, you know, different companies building AI infrastructure, like data centers, you know, all that stuff, it's only providing more opportunities for cloud engineers, because we're the people that manage cloud, different servers, building the servers,
yep,
like actually, you know, deploying the EC2 or whatever the case may be. I just installed ClaudeBot. It's amazing.
This is talking about it, like.
It's really good. Is really good. I integrated it in my business, and now the people who work in my business, they can now, I integrate it with Slack. And so I'm literally using it as a tool to enhance their productivity and make leverage. They're able to make more money and work less, because the AI is doing all the work and it's doing it more efficiently and faster. And so, but I build ClaudeBot on AWS. I boot up a server and I install the software on there, and I integrated ClaudeBot into Slack. And so AI lives in cloud, and cloud engineers are the people that manages cloud. And so it's only providing more opportunities for people like us that have that skill.
Yeah.
That high leverage skill, I would say.
Yeah. I don't know. The parameters definitely got to be changed. Like, you probably can't see over there, but there's a question that I have over there that says, why is Grok freaked out?
I saw that earlier. I was like, what's Grok?
Grok is the AI companion of X. So if you see any type of tweet you don't agree with or whatever, if there's information on it, you can literally say, hey, at Grok, is this
interesting?
Is this true or not?
Interesting.
But the flip side of that is what was happening to women on there is people were finding the women pictures and saying, hey, Grok removed their clothes.
Wait, what?
And Grok was doing it. So they had to update it to where people was like, hey, Grok, I do not give you permission this or that and the third. But it still was happening, because people was just taking it off of Grok using other AI tools and doing it. It was a lot, but like, it was crazy that you got to think of the abuse case.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
It should only be able to update stuff maybe you post, not anything somebody else does. I think that's what it can start there. Or the person has to get a, like, you know, on Instagram, if I put you or tag you or something, it's going to say, do you want to collaborate?
Yep, yep.
Hey, yep. Do you want this person to edit your stuff? No.
Yep.
They said no.
And I think that's another thing that needs to be talked about more, because AI right now is like Claudebot. They have it in a way where all the different AI that's been created with Claude, they can talk to each other.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I'm like, okay. So when it comes to AI or technology, I think a huge component is that people need to start thinking in mind is security, compliance. And it's for something like that, for able to, like, you know, remove somebody's like clothes is insane to even think about. And like you said, think about different use cases that AI can be used, but then also think about security in mind to just to protect people in general. And that's one thing that Claudebot right now, that's something that hasn't really been implemented, which is security in terms of what I've heard online. And so, yeah, I haven't heard of, so I actually don't use X, like I actually don't use it. So I haven't heard of Grok, but it's just crazy how, you know, AI is being integrated. It's just it's accelerating at a fast rate in terms of just adoption for like the average user.
Facts. Now, this was a question that you had gave me, and I thought it was pretty interesting. Real quick, you've kind of explained this already, mm-hmm. but I want you to kind of give like an average time on what you really think, like on what people spend at work. But you said, how does cloud engineering change time freedom compared to traditional IT roles?
So I'm biased just because I've actually been a cloud engineer, not just what I heard. I heard, so IT roles, I don't know other roles. I just know what I've done. IT technician, I think maybe it was just the company I was with. I was working 9-10 hours and I was doing a migration. I was migrating two different banks together. And then I did help desk. I was working like maybe, I think like 3-4 hours, sometimes two. I think, not like average, like two. Nah, that's a lie. I was doing like, because one of the my first help desk job, I was doing like an hour on slow days.
Okay.
It's like,
tell me the calls, like you just had like 1 hour?
So it was a company that was, it was not, it was like 130 employees. It wasn't like... You know,
small.
Yeah, it was a small company. But I heard other help desk roles, they call it hell desk. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Where it's calls nonstop. And I was like, that's insane. But then I got another help desk job at American University. I was doing around like 2-3 hours a day. Now, here's my mindset, and I'm going to make sure I answer your question. My mindset at there was, I know I'm replaceable, and I know I'm just a number. I'm going to leverage this experience, leverage the money, put that money into, you know, knowledge, mentors, whatever, so that I can get a skill to make more money. And so I went from American University making $55,000 to $135,000, almost tripled my income. But I wasn't trying to be the best help desk person solving all the tickets. I was just doing bare minimum, and I don't recommend you do that. Do whatever works for you. But I did what needed to get the job done, and I put all that extra time into learning. And so going back to the time stuff, for typical IT roles, you have to talk to someone who actually works that role to get that, you know, average time you spent per day on that one role. But for a cloud engineer, average time, I tell my students, if you're working more than 2 hours a day, you need to leave that job. And so it just gives you some context and perspective on my experience. And I'm going to say my experience in terms of cloud engineering and the jobs that I've worked. I've worked around like maybe 5 or 6 mm-hmm. jobs. So if you don't know, I've retired my job in August 2025, so I don't work a 9-to-5. I don't need to. And I did that within 2 years. And so cloud engineering has given me the leverage to work multiple jobs to get the income that I wanted. And then I remember I was a day trader, still am a day trader, but I use investing to I invested 95% of my income, and I got to a net worth level to the point where I don't need to work. If I don't work again, I'm still fine. So I'm saying a lot of different things, but nonetheless, in terms of cloud engineer, it has the highest leverage from my experience, in terms of, you know, how much time and bandwidth that you can do at one job, and you can job stack in a way that you can get more jobs and more income.
Now, before we get out of here. When you say job stack, are these corp to corp? Are these W-2?
So all of them. So one of the things I look for is, number one, I'm not trying to go to jail. I ain't trying to be caught up or anything, blacklisted. And so even the when I got my second job, I asked my, so he was the co-founder of the company. I asked him, hey, I got this other opportunity. Like, you know, can I take it? He's like, so the jobs that I got was 1099 and C2C and W-2 when I was doing three jobs. And so, but the main thing is I make sure that I'm not breaking any NDAs or any non-compete stuff like that, like anything, anything compliance related. Mm-hmm. Just so like, okay, I'm in, I can work these jobs and the companies are aware and know that I can work these jobs. Like I'm not breaking any rules. So I would say that's the most important thing. I will say what this one last thing, Justice, like she is like the C2C person I know.
Facts.
And the way that she leveraged C2C in JobStack, I wouldn't even say job, will get multiple contracts and even outsourcing that work is like the biggest leverage, right? You get the contracts into your business and then you actually have somebody else do the work. And so
you can just do the same thing the recruiters do to you for the W-2 contracts.
Literally. And it's just like I said, skill set, leverage, it's all the same thing. It's just depending on which direction you want
to
go.
But it's better because then you had the benefit of showing them how to do the job and giving them the best internship probably they could think of.
That's something that I thought about in terms of my students, outsourcing the work to my best students. But there's, you know, like leverage, like that's still a lot of good money. But I realize, you know, number one, my students don't need it. They can get their own jobs and make more money. But then also for my time and energy, it's, you know, day trading, I can make more money and work less. And so, yeah, that's the reason why I went to the, you know, day trading route.
Perfect. So for people who are here listening, how can they keep up with you?
So I'm typically on Instagram. You can find me at Tayo Lucy, TayoLusi. Once again, that's TayoLusi. I post on my stories almost every day. I'm very authentic in terms of my journey, what I'm doing. Right now I'm posting like just the profits that I'm making off of day trading. This week I'm up, I think, $64,000. In the past 17, 18 days, I'm up $190,000. And I'm very transparent, right? Day trading is one of the hardest things you can do. Not only 5, 10% of people are successful. But right now, my goal is to make $10 million this year, $100 million, $10 to $100 million this year. We'll see. But then also, yeah, like I have a lot of resources on there. If you want to start in cloud, you can go through my content. You can learn literally, you know, you can just go through my content and apply it and you'll still see success. And so my job is to impact the mission statement of the 1% University, me and my team. It's not just me alone. It's to impact millions of lives on a global scale. And we're doing that one person at a time. And so that's me. That's where you can find me on all platforms, Tayo Lucy or the 1% University.
Yeah, he's definitely been putting out some good content on YouTube, so definitely go check that out. But, man, I appreciate you stopping by. We'll have to probably do a live stream or something again or whenever, since you're so frequently in the area. Who knows what'll happen next time?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just call me and I'm there, man.
Bet. But appreciate everybody that tuned in. Until next time, let's stay textual and we out.
Deuce.
Peace.